Welcome to the weekly highlight show for USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. My name is Chris Sharp and I am your host. The Coach and Coordinator Podcast is here to help you lead the next generation of football players. Whether it's a tutorial on implementing new schemes, leadership seminars, or ongoing trends in football, our channel is a resource for you. Last week, we aired the best of interviews with NFL coaches and players. On Monday, we released part two of the series. Here's a segment featuring Charlie Coyner, a former NFL coach, and Wade Wilson, the former quarterback coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Both coaches discuss how to properly execute a two-minute offense at the collegiate and high school levels.
I also look at you from a standpoint of just working with a young quarterback and some of the things that go into a two-minute drill.
For me, first and foremost, is it has to be poise, composure, but with a sense of urgency. And what I tell, I've had Romo, who was 10 years in the league, and then I've had Dak, who's a young guy. But stay within yourself. The common thread is what I've seen from young players is they try to do more than what's asked of them. And, I'm supposed to run a 17-yard comeback, but corner wasn't there, so I broke to the post. That's not what everybody else knows. So just don't be more within your job. And stay within the system.
Okay, and then as you look at that and you're preparing, let's say right now, and put yourself in this situation, you're a high school coach, you're a college coach, and you're sitting there and you're looking up and you've got the very beginning of the season, and you've got a young quarterback, and you're in your meetings. But how do you approach that, Wade, as far as you're going to talk about 2 minutes? When you start organizing your quarterback's brain around how you're going to do a two-minute drill. Do you break that down? Are you looking at throws to the sideline in one area? Looking at you've got timeouts where you have throws in the middle field. How do you organize that?
Well, everything is predicated on situation awareness, of course. How much time do you have? What's your objective? A field goal or a touchdown? How many timeouts do you have? So many things. What's the kicker's range? Things that gets talked about during the course of the week. And all those play a factor into their decisions. I would say in this situation, this is what we like. If we don't have any timeouts, we're working high-lows on the boundary. And understanding that time is more important than yards sometimes. So you got to be prudent with the football and communicate and play with poise.
On Tuesday, we featured highlights from season 3 of Brian Kite's Leadership Journey. Brian discussed the dynamic between players and coaches when it comes to leadership.
So I'm not asking a player to lead because I'm not. If a player isn't going to lead, I have to. Let me ask you this question. And a question, I'm going to ask this question to Keith, but I want you as a listener, all of you listening, I want you to answer this question in your own mind. And I've been asking some college staff this. In your career, coach, how many teams have you coached on that you would say have been totally player-led? Keith, how many teams have you been on that have been totally player-led?
I could probably think of, 27 years, maybe that 5, 6, 7 range where I'd say they were truly player-led teams, strong player-led teams.
So once every 4 or 5 years? Once every 4 or 5 years it happened, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and by the way, that's about the same answer everybody else has for the most part. There's some variable and variance in there, but that's about everybody's answer, which means what does that mean over the course of your career year to year, more often than not, like 4 times out of 5, what kind of team are you going to have? A team that requires you to lead, because this is what the act of leading young people is. They're not ready. More often than not, they're not ready. And we're forcing or pushing or expecting something they're not going to get. And I would go so far as to say this. I think there's two parts of this. And I think they go together, although most people think they're different. I like taking two things that people think operate on opposite ends of the spectrum and mashing them together and viewing them at the same time. Number one, getting young people to lead other young people has always been and will always be one of the biggest challenges. Like, it's just, that's just a difficult task. It's a task of, it's a labor of love. It's just a difficult task. So understand what we're asking for. Second piece is, let's push these two things together. One, it just is extremely rare and more often than not doesn't happen. Most teams, maybe even say almost every team, is not player led, because that's more of the natural order of how this is going to go. At the same time, if a team isn't player led because the players aren't good enough leaders and they don't do their responsibility of leading and hold the line of the culture, who was the person ultimately responsible for that failure?
It's the leader. It's the coach.
There you go.
Wednesday's episode taught us how to row the boat as we listen to University of Minnesota's head football coach, PJ Fleck, speak at the 2019 USA Football National Conference. Coach Fleck taught the audience the keys to creating an elite culture.
Every one of my players, I tell them I love them every single day. Every one of them. So does Heather. And at the time, every time I take over a program, I talk about loving them, they sit there and go, "Whoa, coach, it's football, man." No, you don't even understand the definition of love, because most of the players never been loved before. Love just means no matter what you need, I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. No matter what you need. That's why I'm an educator and a teacher, a sixth grade social studies teacher. I'm here to educate, stimulate, motivate. Right? So that's who we are. What do? We row the boat. What's row the boat? Row the boat's a never give up mantra. That's all it is. It's like never quit. Never give up. That's what it means. February 9, 2011, I lost my second son to a heart condition. And the reason Row the Boat was somewhat invented after time after that wasn't just for his name, but it was to make sure that people knew I was human like everybody else. And that when I get my chance to be on a platform and I have a voice, I can make sure I can inspire people, motivate people, and keep people rowing the boat, even if you don't like football. You're gonna love our culture. Because the head football coach has been through a divorce, has been through a loss of a child. He isn't perfect. And he's the number one public figure in the state of Minnesota. He represents all of us. And he's just like me. He's got the same problem I did when I lost my child or something like that. Or he's going through a divorce. I'm going to email him. See how he did it. On a national stage in a very public profession. So row the boats, never give up. The oars are the energy you bring to your life. What saying do you have and what does it represent? See, we have oars that represent our energy of our program. You either put your oar in the water and keep going, or you take your oar out of the water and you quit. See, the oar, we have pink ones for breast cancer, red ones for American Heart Association, purple ones for pancreatic cancer, puzzle piece ones for autism awareness. Unsolicited, we send them out, no matter what email we get, to everybody in the state of Minnesota, and then nationally, to say, listen, you don't know us maybe, or we don't know you, but we're rowing with you. What do you have in your program that's symbolic, that's changing the lives of not just your players, but your community? How can the banker, how can the grocery store clerk directly be impacted by your high school program besides the win and the loss?
For the beginning of our Deep Dive on Defense series, Keith Grabowski spoke with University of Findlay's defensive coordinator, Jason Macrinos. One of the highlights of the episode was Coach Macrinos' philosophy on creating takeaways.
Oh, I mean, that's big time. And about 3 years ago, I guess I've been at Findlay for 5 years, and we saw a lot of improvement in year one to year two in a lot of the different areas, stopping the run, getting off the field on third downs. But again, every March or February, March, we do our research and development. We didn't improve in takeaways. We had like 13 the first year, and we had 13 the second year. And Coach Keys, our head football coach, made it a point amongst our whole team. I mean, this is just one of the things. I can get into a lot of things, but we instilled a ball period, both for the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football. But every day of practice, right after we flex, You know, we'll have a walkthrough. We flex right after. We have 5 minutes of ball period. The offense works on ball security, and the defense, we work on different takeaways. And that was just part of it. You get what you emphasized. We did some things that, number one, starting from a recruiting standpoint, I've always looked at, you know, when I'm looking at safeties, I want to see guys that obviously can run and can hit. But then the guys that are jumping up my board or the guys that I can watch them play on offense and go take the football when they're playing receiver, looking at linebackers and seeing linebackers that are playing running back. I want to see guys that are athletes and guys that have ball skills, because one thing I have found is for defensive coaches, it's challenging to teach ball skills. Guys that have played baseball that understand how to track, those guys have been very good for us, you know, in the secondary, and just reading the quarterback and the angle of his shoulder and the trajectory that the football is coming out at. But those guys with offensive backgrounds starts right there, and just making sure, yes, you want guys that can run and can hit, but if you have ball skills and you're an athlete and you can play on both sides of the football and you're a multi-sport guy, those guys are going to the top of the recruiting board. Then from there, everything that we do from a, you know, spoken affirmations is something that just kind of like my psychology background. And, you know, you listen to sports psychologists and positive self-talk in different ways to manipulate your own mind. I kind of just wanted to, first of all, have the mindset of we need to take the football from the offense. It's not turnovers, it's takeaways. So spoken affirmations, what I mean by that is every time we break a defensive meeting, every time we break a defensive huddle, I will say three times on three, and they will go, the ball is ours, the ball is ours, the ball is ours. And that's what we break down every meeting on. It's just reminding them that football is yours. It's not the offense. That's their football. It's our football. It's our job to take it from them. So every year when you introduce your defensive goals, you know, a lot of defensive coordinators have stop the run is the number one goal. And yes, we are going to do everything in our power to dominate the run game and hold that ball carry to under 3 yards per carry. But besides points, the number one statistic that determines the success of your football team is the turnover margin. So I put take the football from the offense as our number one goal.
On Friday, we began our All In on Offense series. Co-offensive coordinators Aaron Bomey and Brett Elliott came onto the show to reveal how they helped lead Linfield College to having the number one passing attack in Division III football.
I've always thought the main adjustments need to be made up front. I think our O-line coach did a really good job all year long. Because that's where you're going to get the most, you know, intricacies of what you're seeing different and what you need to do differently. Is it a four technique? Is it a four eye? You know, how would you to adjust the blocking schemes? And so, you know, he did a really good job all year. But in terms of like play calling, it's kind of just find what works. You know, as the season went on, you know, you got to find your identity, and especially in a run game, what you're going to hang your hat on. So that was a little bit of a struggle for us this year, is finding what we can do well up front with the young O-line. And so it was nice, about halfway through the year, we kind of settled on the inside zone. But in terms of game by game, I think most of the credit has to go to our offensive line coach.
No, yeah, I think the other part that we try to do, you know, we try to assign our coaching staff to certain things, look for certain things. I task my receivers that aren't playing as much to chart the safeties and corners. I want to know what they're doing on every play. And just in case, you know, as a staff, we miss it. All right, what were they doing on that one play? Did they roll to the field? Did they sky to the boundary? Whatever it was. So we try to just get a lot, as much information as we can. But like Brett said, I don't think if you have a pretty good system, I don't think you want to change your play calling a ton. It's going to be, hopefully your plays are good against a lot of different things, and you have small adjustments. Maybe you change the backside of a route, or maybe you haven't run a play in a while and it's really good against quarters and this team came out in quarters. That's fine. But for the most part, most of your routes should be pretty good.
Yeah, we have
most everything.
And the way we build our offense is, you know, we kind of have answers for everything, and we have a training camp, basically menu, and that's all we do each week is We don't come in and say, oh, okay, they're running this defense. What plays can we come up with to beat it? But we have a whole menu.
Thank you for listening to the USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast weekly highlight show. To help support the channel, you can subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, and on iTunes as well. And don't forget to give us a 5-star review. Be sure to tune in next week for more content and more analysis.